Inner listening is another way of approaching Dhamma practice that can be very rewarding, liberating. Not just listening to the inner voices of our thoughts, emotions, memories, ideas, fantasies, but specifically the listening to what is known by Lumpur Sumedho called the sound of silence, the inner sound or inner vibration. After a number of days of retreat time, things get a little quieter. The weather's getting cooler, snowy. Things settle down. So, as we turn the attention inward, you know, along with the sensations of the body and the sounds of the world around us, the different thoughts and ideas that come through the mind, if we listen closely, for most people, here in the background of our experiential field, the sensory field, there can be discerned a continuous, high-pitched inner vibration, an inner sound. It's like the white noise that you hear from a speaker and no one's talking through the microphone. A subtle, silvery, continuous sound. Some people find this very easy to hear, or even hard to get away from. Others, it's very hard to notice at all. It's not something that's easily perceivable. But most people are somewhere in the middle. So if we bring attention to the faculty of hearing in the background, there's this continuous, steady, high-pitched, ringing, silvery sound. And different spiritual traditions have referred to this in different ways. In the Vedic tradition, it's known as the Brahmanada, the divine sound. In Europe, it's been known as the music of the spheres. In the Sikh tradition, they call it the yoga of inner light and sound. In the Chinese tradition, apparently it's known as the Shurangama Samadhi, listening to this inner sound, whatever we call it, whatever the mythological, cultural additions that are made to it, here it is. It's a perception, discernible by most people, and it's something like other perceptions, like the rhythm of the breathing, the rhythm of our footsteps, sensations of the body, can be used as a meditation object, a way of cultivating wholesome qualities, letting go of unwholesome qualities. And bringing attention to this inner vibration, this inner sound, we don't need to create a lot of doubt around it or speculate about what exactly might be causing it, whether it's the energy system of the body, the prana running through the system, the chi, whether it's the vibration of the tiny cells within the organs of the ear. Doesn't really matter exactly where it comes from. What's important is, here it is. It can be attended to. Ever present. So firstly, we can use it as an alternative for concentration, alternative to mindfulness of breathing. If we're able to listen to it, we can focus upon that to the exclusion of other sense objects. We can absorb the attention into it. One advantage over the breath is that it's not controllable by personal will. You can either pay attention to it or not. But you can't make it louder or softer. Can't make it go away, or you can't make it begin. Can't make it end. It doesn't respond to personal will. So, what that does is that it supports a profound quality of receptivity. Helps to undercut the habits of I-making and mind-making, and assists the heart in that quality of openness, receiving the present reality. Here it is. Just listening, attending, receiving. The heart open to this moment. When we concentrate on this inner sound, then different people have different experiences. Sometimes you can notice different frequencies, low frequencies, high frequencies, different tones within there. If you can perceive different frequencies, different tones, then it's usually more helpful to focus on those that are of the higher pitch rather than the low frequency tones. This seems to support the quality of alertness, brightness of mind, makes it easier to concentrate. Another of the attributes that it has that is a bit of an advantage over the breathing is that often as the mind gets more concentrated, the breath becomes very slow or very subtle. There are long spaces between the in-breath and the out-breath. Listening to the inner sound, there's no breaks. It just continues. So that quality of being self-sustaining, continuous, a steady river of sound that brings an advantage with it. Also, the more the mind concentrates on the inner sound, then this has a positive feedback effect upon the quality of alertness, arousal. The more you concentrate on the inner sound, the brighter the mind becomes. Sometimes with mindfulness of breathing, then can lead to a sleepiness or dullness, and a diminishing of the quality of attention, alertness. For most people, cultivating their inner listening, the effect is it energizes, brightens the mind. It feeds the quality of alertness. So, the more you concentrate on it, the easier it is to concentrate. So in these ways, it's a very direct support to the quality of samadhi, collectedness. Outside of the periods of sitting meditation, walking meditation, if this is developed as something that is noticed, attended to, then it also becomes an aid for mindfulness throughout the activities of the ordinary day. Walking from one building to another, going to our room, brushing our teeth, eating food, whatever it is we might be doing, the sound is always here in the background, ever present. So it becomes an ongoing support for that quality of attention, being attuned to the present reality. If there's a lot of activity going on or a lot of noise in the world, sound of vehicles or machines, or we're involved in a conversation, then it's less easy to notice, naturally, but it is ever present. Just like the force of gravity doesn't blink, doesn't forget itself or switch off. It's always here, without fail, ever present. So by cultivating this quality of inner listening, it supports very directly that sense of appamada, heedfulness, that quality of attention to the present. And as Lumpo Sumedho begins his Dhamma talks with that quotation from the Dhammapada, Aparutta desang amatasa tawara yeso tawanta pamunchantu sadhang. The doors to the deathless are open. Let those who listen, let those who attend, act upon their faith. So, that attending, listening, this is directly supported by this quality of focusing on the inner sound. Attending to the deathless, attending to the present reality. We also find as the practice moves towards the development of insight, that the presence of the inner sound is also directly supportive of vipassana, of insight meditation. Just as we open the heart to the flow of all experience, the sensations of the body, the sounds of the world around us, thoughts and feelings, emotions, imagination, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. In amongst all of that is the presence of the inner sound, beginningless, endless, like a backdrop for all experience. So it supports the quality of wise reflection, the development of insight. Like a screen against which all of the patterns of perception, our thoughts, our feelings, other sounds and sights, smells, tastes, like a screen against which they are all projected, displayed. The inner sound helps to be a reminder of, oh, it's just a visual object, it's just a thought, it's just a shape, just a taste. The taste is still there, the shape is still there, but the presence of the inner sound is a reminder. Helps to awaken that realization of the transparency of all objects, the empty nature of all phenomena, the empty nature of the world. The inner sound is just a sound, it's a perception. There's nothing intrinsically magical or liberating or noble about it. It's just a perception, like the feeling of the force of gravity or the coolness of the wind upon our skin. It's a perception. But it's a perception that has attributes that can be greatly beneficial if they're used in a skillful way. as attributes, also they evoke certain qualities of the Dhamma itself. So the inner sound is a perception, it's a conditioned thing, but it evokes certain qualities of the unconditioned, ever-present, beginningless, endless, non-personal, encouraging investigation. The more you pay attention to it, the easier it is to pay attention to. Apparent here and now, timeless. So it is just a perception, but it's a perception that echoes, that possesses qualities that are a representation in the sensory world of these qualities of the Dhamma itself. Sanditiko akaliko, ehipasiko, opanaiko, pachatang viditabo vinyuhi. Apparent here and now, timeless, encouraging investigation, leading inwards, to be realized, to be known by each wise person for themselves. So in this way, it's a sensory object, it's a conditioned perception, but it supports the realization of that which is unconditioned, beyond perception, outside of cause, above effect. It's a conditioned thing, but it evokes certain qualities of the unconditioned, the transcendent. So it leads inwards, leads towards that, supports that realization very directly, very effectively. Leading to liberation, leading to ease and to freedom.